Welcome to the Dirt on Turf podcast. I'm your host, Chris Toppings. Today we have an amazing guest. First, let's hear from our sponsors.
Netting professionals are improving programs one facility at a time. Netting professionals specialize in the design, fabrication, and installation of custom nettings for backstops, batting cages, dugouts, scoreboards, overhead netting, barrier netting, sideline netting, golf course netting, and much more. They also design and install digital graphic wall padding, windscreen, turf, turf protectors, dugout benches, dugout cubbies, and more. Netting Professionals continues to provide quality products and services to many recreational, high school, college, and professional fields, facilities, courses, and stadiums throughout the country. Netting Professionals are improving programs one facility at a time. Contact them today at 844-620-2707 or info@nettingpros.com. Visit them online at www.nettingpros.com or check out Netting Pros on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn for all their latest products and projects.
AgStone is focused on providing its customers with more than just a great product. Offering a surprisingly affordable full-course wetting agent that is 98% biodegradable, reduces LDS, increases nitrogen uptake, and has no burn potential. One chemistry, multiple benefits. AgStone stays with you every step of the way, helping analyze and maximize potential through our products, technical knowledge, and customer support. To get more information, visit www.ag-stone.com, www.ag-stone.com, or email sales@agstone.com and ag-stone.com.
Benchmark Tool and Supply was founded over 15 years ago and have established themselves as experts in the GPS construction industry ever since. They're excited to bring their expertise into the sports turf management and landscaping world. Their recent partnership with ABI has allowed them to bring that knowledge into an industry that has seen the rapid adoption of GPS and automation technology. The ABI Force Z23 is an all-in-one field groomer and landscaper's dream tool. The ability to bring laser precision to ball field grading is changing the way the game is played at every level. When it comes time to step up your turf maintenance and line marking, turn to the GPS pros who have years of experience helping experts get the job done right the first time. Call Benchmark Tool and Supply today at 866-342-7665. Welcome to the Dirt on Turf podcast. I'm your host, Chris Toppings. Today we have Drew Hall from UNCW, an area that I lived in for many years of my life. Grew up right outside of there in Hampstead. So I'm glad to have Drew on. Welcome, Drew.
Welcome. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to being on today.
Yeah, man. Well, give everybody a breakdown of your turf, you know, your current position and a breakdown of kind of your turf career history and everything.
Okay. So my name's Drew Hall. I'm originally from Halifax, Virginia. I know you're a big NASCAR fan. So that's, you know, the home of Warren Jeff Burton. So I kind of started out, I was like a lot of people, I think you've interviewed, I realized at a pretty young age that, my athletic ability wasn't going to take me to the Division I level, and kind of wanted to try to find a way that I could still be around sports. So when I was in high school, I'd say I was probably 16, 17, my uncle actually was the head grounds guy at Longwood University in Farmville. So for my sophomore, I mean, I guess my junior, senior year in high school, that's what I did. I would go down and help him work baseball, softball tournaments and games on the weekends, or any chance that I got for that matter, just go down and help him. And then, you know, kind of had an interest there, but I really went to, right out of high school, went to college for architectural engineering and realized I did not want to sit behind a desk the rest of my life. And actually, a guy I went to high school with named Quinn Elliott, who's a superintendent at a golf course up in Danville, Virginia, talked me into going to Sandhills Community College in Pinehurst. So I enrolled there and then, you know, done their, I guess, this two-year golf course, I guess, superintendent's program, which was a pretty good program. And then luckily I got the opportunity to work for a really good guy. He's kind of one of my mentors, Danny Rich, who's now with Marmicci Green. He gave me the opportunity as a, you know, 19-year-old kid who really didn't know anything other than kind of what I learned at Longwood working with my uncle. And just kind of, you know, he pretty much told me from day one that, you know, I'll teach you as much as you want to know. So I just kind of went in there and asked a lot of questions and wanted to be a guy that he could really rely on. So was there at Tallamore, actually was at Tallamore Golf Course the whole time I was in the turf program there. And the turf program at Sandhills, you had to do a 6-month kind of co-op in order to graduate. So I guess that would be kind of like your last semester. And actually reached out to the head guy. He was Brian, I think his name's Brian Donaway. He was a head guy at Florida State at the time. And actually had a project that was due for one of my classes, and I'm a huge Florida State fan. So actually they gave me the location in Tallahassee, and I kind of had to try to research some information on different types of grass and stuff like that, and actually reached out to the guy and just kind of asked him some general questions. And he was like, hey, I have an internship spot if you're interested. And I said, well, let me think about it. And so I actually went down. For the game I went down for is when College Game Day was there. Is when Oklahoma was actually playing in Tallahassee against Florida State. And I just fell in love with that atmosphere, the College Game Day. And just everything about a football game day just really kind of, you know, made me want to pursue that route in sports turf. So I was an intern, you know, after I graduated. Actually stayed on there for another year and a half. So I was a total at Florida State for 2 years. Then I applied for a job at UCF. I actually didn't get the job I applied for, which was the assistant director's position. But actually, I think it's probably about a month or so later, the head guy down there, Robert Sample, called me and said they had another position come available, kind of like a second assistant position become available. And I took that position. Down at UCF in Orlando, was down there for 3 years. And then I got promoted to assistant director, I think, the last year and a half I was there, once Matt Bruderick, who was the assistant at the time, took the Orlando City head job. And then I got that promotion there. And then I was there till 2015, and then got the job here at UNCW in August of 2015. My boss at the time, Marcus Addles, he pretty much took the job here at UNCW as associate AD over facilities and event management. They didn't have a grounds guy at the time. So he called me up and asked me if I'd be interested. And, you know, obviously it was a no-brainer for me being closer to the beach, plus only 4 hours from home opposed to being 13 hours from home down in Orlando. So it was a good move for me. They had never had anybody in this position. So it was kind of I could do some things real easy and simple stuff to, you know, make the athletic fields better and really gain the trust of the administration and the coaching staff for all the sports. And so I've been here ever since August of 2015. So going on 6 years here at UNCW, we have baseball, softball field, which is artificial outfield, dirt infield. Then we have two practice soccer fields. And then we also have a track facility, which is just kind of, you know, just kind of common areas. We partner with the county and the city. couple years ago, so it's kind of hard to do any maintenance out there. So somebody's out there pretty much from sun up to sundown. So, but yeah, that's just kind of a roundabout way of, you know, how I kind of got into turf and where I'm at now.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome background, you know, from Florida State, and being able to, it kind of stars kind of align for you to be able to do your internship and then your first job out of school be at Florida State. That's probably pretty awesome to be a part of.
Yeah, no, it was, you know, like I said, it was a great experience. Learned a lot down there. It's obviously good on the resume, but, you know, as you can imagine, going from a Power Five school to a Group of Six school to a mid-major school, obviously there's some challenges with, you know, staffing and financial stuff and all that stuff that kind of comes with downsizing.
Oh, most definitely. Give the listeners a kind of a breakdown of your position now and what, and just like how many employees you have and kind of not a lot of people probably know, you know, your exact sports that you hold on your fields.
Yeah, no. So I'm director of grounds and sports turf here. I have three guys that work under me, assistant, and then kind of like a sports field manager and just kind of like a general groundskeeper. We normally try to employ 2 to 3 student workers a year just to kind of help us out with baseball, softball, game days. Obviously, we don't have football. So springtime is our busiest time with baseball and softball. And then also for baseball and softball, it's kind of a unique situation. We have anywhere from probably 8 to 10 volunteer guys who are, you know, a little bit older, I'd say mid-40s to mid-50s, and they're all tied to UNCW, whether they graduated from here or they got some tied to UNCW. So it's really nice having those guys. They'll come out and kind of help prep the field, and they'll help do the bag and drag for the fifth inning, and then whatever else we may need them to do throughout the game. But yeah, so we just have you know, obviously baseball, softball, men's and women's soccer, and then obviously track and field, and then, you know, that's pretty much the only teams that we really work with. You know, we don't do a whole lot with, you know, with the tennis courts and stuff like that. So, you know, it's pretty much just 4 main programs that we really work with.
Yeah, well, y'all's baseball team's pretty good. Normally they're top 25 team most of the time.
Yeah, ever since I've been here since 2015, baseball and men's soccer are consistently in the top 25. I would say, you know, our women's soccer team just won the CAA regular season championship for the first time in program history. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, I would say generally speaking, you know, baseball is our is one of our better sports.
Right. Yeah, my I live in Washington, North Carolina, so it's about 2 hours from you. My neighbor played baseball at UNCW, so
okay.
Yeah, he's a big UNCW guy. Going back to your turf, you know, your turf career and things like that, this is always a good question, and it always gets people thinking. If you had a warning label, what would yours be?
You know, obviously listening to a couple of the podcasts, it would probably say warning, zero patience, and I do have a pretty foul mouth. I do swear a lot. So that's kind of my, I guess, my two weaknesses is not a lot of patience and a bad mouth.
Yeah, I can understand that firsthand. I definitely get that. What's new in your position? Like, what are some things in the last 12, 24 months? I mean, other than COVID, of course. But what are some new things in your position? Like new things going on?
I mean, you know, obviously we just, you know, being a, you know, a smaller school with a smaller budget, you know, we're always having to try to get creative and kind of think, you know, think outside the box for a lot of things. A couple of things that we've, you know, just, I guess, probably within the last 2 years, it's been really beneficial to us is obviously started using Dur-Edge Black Stick on all our play areas, mound plates, bullpens. Those have helped out tremendously. And then another thing we started doing is just getting a lot of the DuraEdge Pro Super Sacks just to have on hand for when we're backfilling edges. It's just easier to pull for those from those Super Sacks instead of getting, you know, the bulk stuff that, you know, we just don't have a way to kind of cover it so we can kind of keep that moisture consistent. So it just kind of, you know, gets hard, too wet, dries out, gets clumpy. So I just say, you know, those two things just really kind of giving us a little more time to do other stuff, you know, where we just don't have to work those materials as much as some of the other materials we've used in the past.
And DuraEdge makes an amazing product. They're big listeners to this podcast. I know a lot of the people involved with DuraEdge, Luke Yoder. I tell you, that's a great, they have a great business and a great product, and I love what they stand for. You know, they'll go out and do some stuff on some high school fields, you know, and donate it and stuff. It's really, they've really changed the game when it comes to baseball. I can tell you that, and softball.
Yeah, no, they, I tell you, man, I've, you know, obviously worked about every pack and clay there is, but Black Stick is just, I mean, it's unbelievable. It has been a lifesaver, you know, especially just for having such a short, you know, short, a smaller crew, you know, it just saves so much time.
What are some of your, well, other than that, stuff like that, the budget, what are some other challenges you run into in your position?
I think it was Clark Cox, and I think some other ones have talked about it. So all of our fields are native soil, which is everything in UNCW, kind of in the athletic fields used to be kind of like a swamp. So everything's black muck. We don't have any drainage on any of our fields. Honestly, up until, I think, 4 years ago, we just converted our practice soccer field to electrical irrigation and got away from the hydraulic system. Yeah, so when I first got here, all three of our fields were still hydraulic irrigation. So we were definitely behind the eight ball on a lot of facilities across the country for us, you know, that matter. But, yeah, so it's just, you know, those challenges when it, you know, comes to weather. And then obviously, you know, how wet the fields get, just trying to educate the coaches and the players that, you know, obviously I know they want to practice and not lose any practice times, but just try to educate them the best I can about possibly, you know, just moving around, you know, the best you can, just, you know, to avoid beating up those areas. Cause like I said, with this, it's tough with no drainage and, you know, everything just holds, you know, large amount of water. So,
Yeah, I totally get it. It's great that y'all were able to make that transition with the irrigation. I know that's a lot easier on you. What are some of your passions outside your job?
I'll be honest. A lot of guys have said it. Up until COVID, I kind of really struggled with the work-life balance. I was one of those guys that would go in every weekend for 5 to 10 minutes just to check on things, and 8 hours later, I was still there. So me and my wife actually got a boat this past April, and I can gladly say I did not go in one weekend all summer. So I would say just kind of hanging out on the boat. I don't go out in the ocean or do any fishing. We just kind of hang around the intercoastal and just kind of island hop and hang out with some friends. So, I mean, you know, that's pretty much the outside of work, the only thing I really do.
Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with that. I do a lot of that myself, so I can totally get on board with that. Are you a member of SDMA?
Yes, sir.
National Conference?
I won't go to the National Conference. It's just kind of, you know, obviously that's right, you know, just having a smaller crew, that's right when we, you know, school starts back and baseball and softball really start up. So, and plus just being off for 10 days and then going on, you know, Christmas break, it's just kind of tough. Did go down to the Myrtle Beach show down there with North Carolina, South Carolina event.
Yeah, I'm usually there every year. My old boss, he's really involved with that organization. It's always been very awesome conference. I'm glad it got back going.
Yeah, no doubt. It's always a good turnout.
Mm-hmm. And Casey, the new president, Casey Carrick from Carolina, me and him are good friends. And I actually was at the World Series, and Casey was there. We met up at the bar, had a few drinks. You know what I mean?
That's awesome.
I was with different people, but Yeah, man, that organization's awesome. They got a good group of guys running that, you know, in control of that. They do a great job. Speaking of STMEA, continuing education, what kind of continuing education and use of, and if you use any kind of technology out there, you know, on your fields or anything, but that and continuing education, what are some of your go-tos on what you look for? What do you seek more knowledge in?
I think the last guy you interviewed, Jeremy, kind of hit it on the head. I personally, you know, obviously all the continuing education stuff's good, but I kind of get more out of just sitting at a bar or drinking a beer with some of the guys, just kind of, you know, talking about the, you know, the trials, the stuff you tried and what hasn't worked, what has worked, stuff like that. So I kind of get more out of that opposed to, I guess, the classes, you could say. But, you know, that's just me. Obviously, I'm a big Twitter's huge. Follow a lot of other turf people. And I've started following more and more golf course superintendents. Those guys are really creative and think outside of the box, you know, about just trying different stuff. Trying to think of like some other apps obviously weather apps use a lot, but I kind of like the, I think it's the Gemma. They kind of just send, they'll kind of send updates on like soil temps and stuff like that. So it's nice where, you know, where I can't get out there and kind of manage or check soil temps as much as I would like to, but it's just nice being able to get those alerts when you know disease pressure is higher, weed pressure, stuff's getting ready to germinate. So I just, you know, any kind of apps like that just really kind of make my life a lot easier.
Yeah. And unfortunately, with you being in the state system, some of those things, some of the ones that you would be able to have that would be on site just aren't that accessible for a lot of people that work in lower budget, budget circumstances. You know, sometimes those aren't as easily accessible to be able to install. So any kind of help you can get.
I call a lot, you know, we haven't got to the point yet where we can have luxury items. We're still trying to get some necessity items. So hopefully here in the next couple of years, you know, we'll be able to get some luxury items, as I like to call
them. Mm-hmm. What's the best turf advice you've ever been given?
Just keep it simple. You know, I feel like sometimes it can, you know, some people try to make it a little more complex than what it really is. Just keep it simple. You know, simple works a lot of the times. You know, I know a lot of people, so sometimes you try to do too much, that's not necessarily the best.
Mm-hmm. How was COVID for your facility? I mean, big changes, a lot going on. I mean, I know with not having football, that you didn't have to worry about that transition, but I mean, what kind of changes or drastic changes for you during that time for your facilities?
Yeah. So Coach, you know, obviously it's just crazy. Cause I just feel like it was yesterday. I remember we were literally playing East Carolina on a Wednesday night. And then, you know, we were just kind of hanging out, and I remember Cliff Godwin saying they just got a notification from, I think they were supposed to play Columbia that weekend, and just got that notification. He was like, Columbia, the Ivy League just canceled. So, and then, you know, that was on a win. Actually, I think that was a Tuesday night. So I think by Thursday, everything had shut down, and we had actually, they wanted to put all four of the ground staff on a paid administrative leave. But I told them, I said, look, guys, I said, when this is all over with and we start to get back to normal and, you know, have kids on campus, they're going to want to hop right into practice right away. So I talked them into, they actually technically only allowed me to come in 3 days a week, but it was a lot of times where I was there 5 to 6 days a week, just by myself trying to get caught up. Head baseball coach helped out a lot, you know, mowing the baseball field and just kind of mowing some common areas and weed eat. Actually had my wife, I don't know how many times she came out and helped me dump buckets or mow the soccer field, or, you know, or just drive the gate or whatever I needed, you know, help with, just because they weren't deemed essential. So it was pretty much only a one-man show for 3.5 months.
Yeah. Wow. That's intense. Well, if you don't mind me asking, what does your wife do for her to be able to have that time to come out there and help you?
So she's actually in clinical research. She works for PPD, which is, you know, it's actually kind of crazy because PPD done a lot of legwork for the Pfizer vaccine, doing all the trial stuff. So she was just able to, you know, she works from home, so she would, you know, she might have to stop and answer a call or two or whatever the case may be. But like I said, she was a big help
awesome.
Maintaining those fields.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a huge help. And your baseball coach being able to come help you, that probably helped y'all, the relationship you guys have too. You know, y'all were able to, he's able to see things. I mean, even though he probably appreciated you before, but it's always good. You know, I hear people all the time talk about the hardest thing is managing coaches' personalities, because you have so many different coaches. And for you and him to be out there and him to be volunteering his help right there shows a lot about what kind of person he is.
Yeah, no, like, you know, over the three different stops I've been at, you know, the coaches here are really good, but the baseball coaching staff here is just exceptional. They really understand, and, you know, they know the, you know, how the field is and how much it holds water. But I, you know, we do have a luxury of having a really nice indoor hitting facility and a turf field. So I'd say they don't do hardly anything on the game field except for kind of BP and skill work. Majority of PFPs and base running and rundowns and all that stuff is done on the turf field or the indoor. So I'm very fortunate, and those guys really respect the field. So I'm very fortunate with those guys.
Yes, I think you touched on this earlier. What did you want to do for a career before you decided on turf? What did you want your job to be?
So, I mean, I was kind of always intrigued in this, but I'd be completely honest. I didn't know that it was I didn't know you could go to school for it, to tell you the truth. So, you know, obviously went, you know, had interest in architectural engineering. And I'll never forget the time I told my parents. Actually, I just kind of quit going to class. And then I told them, and the face when I told them I was going to turf school, they were like, "You're really going to school to grow grass?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm gonna give it a try." So that was in 2010. But you know, I can look back now and say it was definitely the right decision. You know, just kind of walk away from architectural engineering and do this. Obviously, the money might have been a little better, but I'm not sitting behind a desk every day.
That's exactly right. I know you got a crazy turf story. You have to.
Yeah, so it's funny. I was actually telling a couple of people this down in the Bahamas. It was actually when I was interning at Florida State. We had two older guys that worked there. One of them was named Harold Williams, and the other one was we always called him Chuck. I don't even know his last name. I don't even know if Chuck was his first name. But we just paint practice football, and Chuck was always on the phone. Always on the phone. I don't know who he was talking to, but my man, he was always on the phone. And you know, we were painting hashes, and you know, with the hash jig, if one person's not paying attention and moving the hash jig at the pace they should be, somebody's shins will get tore up every time. And Harold had just got tired of Chuck being on the phone and his shins getting tore up. And he said, "Man, if you get on that phone one more time, I'm gonna spray you." And sure enough, he got on the phone and Harold took the painter and literally painted a white stripe from his belt up to the top of his head.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome. So, he got off that phone, didn't he?
He did. He got off the phone real quick.
Yeah, imagine. Yeah, that's awesome. But I'd love to see that. Now, I've been in the numerous situations where something like that needed to happen. That's great.
So yeah, no, it was. I didn't think he would do it, but he sure enough did it.
That's too funny. Yeah, you mentioned the Bahamas. You were telling me earlier that you had just got back from the Bahamas. Tell the listeners kind of what was going on, what you were doing.
Yeah, no, so I've been fortunate enough. This was my fourth bowl game of going down there and helping out with the game operations staff. So we're pretty much responsible for field stuff-wise. We're responsible for we lay out the game field, and it's actually a really, I guess it's kind of a unique situation there. So they're infield. At the Bahamas, you can't get a full – you can get a 100-yard field in, but you can't get a two full end zones. So, actually, the end zones are actually 1 yard shorter. They're not – each end zone's 9 yards shorter instead of 10 yards. So it's a, you know, it's actually crazy, you know, there. So it's, you know, the end zones aren't really, I guess, regulation. Just for player safety, just because it'd be way too close to the track surface if you tried to go the full 10 yards. So we're responsible for laying that field out, painting that. They have a practice field that we're responsible for. And then they have an artificial field that where the, I guess it's the Bahamas Soccer Club. We're not allowed to paint that. So we actually have to chalk the football field on the artificial turf field, which, you know, obviously that, you know, create its own challenges, you know, wind or, you know, too much rain washing it out. And then we're also responsible for like some game operations and logistics stuff, helping set up the locker rooms down there. Cause I mean, they probably only have two or three events at that stadium a year, and it was really bad. So this year was pretty much, I went down and done a site visit in the 1st of November. And, you know, it's just crazy because pretty much hadn't been touched in 2 years. So we kind of had our work cut out for us when we went down there 10 days ago.
Wow. And so it was a bowl game for Conference USA and
– in the MAC. So it was Toledo versus Middle Tennessee.
Okay. Wow. That's pretty cool, man. So you're pretty much on the crew to go to that every year.
Yeah. No, as of right now, you know, I always say as long as my wife will let me, I'll go.
Yeah, that's awesome. That sounds fun. What's your proudest accomplishment, personal or professional? Doesn't matter.
I don't know if it's really accomplishment, but I really enjoyed helping Butter and Brian and those guys with the first Little League Softball World Series in Greenville. Softball was always a huge part of, I guess, my life growing up. My mom, she's in the Dixie Softball Hall of Fame, which is, you know, Dixie's kind of only in the Southeast. My sister played her whole life, played college softball. Actually used to umpire Dixie softball and help my mom coach. So, that was huge, just being able to volunteer, for that event. And then I guess professional was I was actually awarded the first ever, I think it was in 2019, it may have been 2018. They had just came out with the Athletic Director's Award here at UNCW, and I guess it was, you know, first one ever, and it's pretty much, you know, you're nominated by all your colleagues, and I was the first recipient of that. So that was pretty cool to win that the first year that they decided to give an award.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I didn't know that you came down to help Butter during the Little League World Series, the softball.
Yeah, that was a great event. Had, you know, good turnout. Had, you know, I mean, you just think about it, just across North Carolina, man, there's a lot of great, you know, sports turf managers. And it was kind of nice, you know, all of us getting together and, you know, just kind of delivering that pristine playing surface, you know, for those girls.
Mm-hmm. What's a favorite quote or phrase? Sticks with you. Doesn't have to be turf related, just something that's always stuck with you.
I guess Nick Saban has said it, and he goes, I guess it's hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work. I know there's plenty of sharp people out there in the turf world. I'm definitely not the sharpest, but I'd put my work ethic up against anybody. And even if I'm looking to hire somebody, it's the same. You can have all the knowledge if you want to, but if your work ethic's terrible, I really don't. I wouldn't even give you a shot working for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that. If you could have any job in the world, what would it be? Dream job.
Dream job. Honestly, that's tough. I tell you, I got two. One would probably be the head grounds guy at Florida State. Just because being a big fan, actually it came open a couple years ago, and I didn't even apply for it. Kind of kicking myself for doing that. And then I think the other one would be if I ever had the opportunity to be the head grounds guy at the stadium in the Bahamas that they host that bowl game. I just love the Bahamas. You know, down there, you know, we're interacting with the locals for 10 days, you know, so, you know, most people that go down there just stay on the resort. They don't get to see a whole lot outside of the resort. So I'd say those two are probably my two dream jobs would be head grounds guy at Florida State or, you know, head grounds guy at the stadium in the Bahamas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'd be awesome, especially if you could take your boat with you.
Exactly.
Yeah, there wouldn't be nothing wrong with that. All right, here's a couple questions to just finish up our questions. If you could pick one meal, what would it be?
Without a doubt, it'd be my mom's chicken casserole, my dad's homemade mashed potatoes, and her homemade banana pudding.
Oh, man, yeah. That sounds like a pretty positive choice. If you wake up tomorrow and you've won the lottery, what's the first thing you do, and what's your first non-essential purchase?
I know you said it's a big lottery. Tell you the truth, the first thing I'm doing is I'm donating probably $35 to $40 million to the baseball program here to build them a stadium and a new field. And it probably wouldn't be me, but whoever the grounds guy would have a Cadillac shop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be awesome. A nice shop and a clean shop goes miles.
Yep.
It goes miles. Lastly, what are some words of wisdom you have for some young up-and-coming turf professionals?
Sometimes you just got to step out your comfort zone. You may have to move to an area you necessarily don't like. You may love it, you may not like it, but, you don't know what you do and don't like until you try different things. And it's a grind, embrace the grind, be someone who's eager to learn, who, wants to go the extra mile to, the boss man needs you, to come in early or stay late or on the weekends or whatever. Yeah. It sucks, but I mean, it's a grind. And I think that's, how you really truly get to, the position you want to be is, you got to put your time in. I feel like the younger generation necessarily kind of wants a lot of stuff handed to them. And I just think you got to put your time in to, get to where you want.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was with ECU for 12 years. I was at the club and intramural sports complex. And I worked there for, between 11 and 12 years. And I was pretty much at a dead end, nowhere for me to go. Didn't want to move. I have a family business as well. Here in my hometown, I didn't want to move. And I really wanted to stay in sports turf, but there's really not many options in Eastern North Carolina outside of East Carolina. And the state, not bashing at all, but the state was just they probably needed to reevaluate some of the positions, especially for people in that are educated in the turf field, to get them to get any tenure out of them, and I made a transition to a low budget public golf course, probably 5 miles down the road from that, or not even 5 miles, probably 2 miles down the road from the complex that I was. It was a raise. My benefits are close to the same. It has sparked my, it has rechanneled my turf motivation, because I was very, very bitter, very frustrated, and very burnt out, so to speak. And it had become a challenge for me to even go to work, where I'm always 100% wide open and, a ball of fire and great work ethic. And I just found myself just not wanting to be there, at all. And I understood when I got to that point that it was time for me to make a change. And for everybody listening, Drew's just going to have to hear the soapbox for a few minutes, I guess. He's just a victim. That's another reason why we hadn't had many podcasts in the past couple of months, because I was going through that transition, trying to make sure that I easily went into that transition. And I've been asked by numerous people about mental health, and you've talked about earlier about that work and life balance. And it's a very serious thing in the turf business. And I can't stress it enough. Just like you said earlier, you have to have that balance or you will go crazy. What I had to do was find myself outside of the position that I previously held. I didn't know who I was in the industry outside of that person. And it's been great transition so far. I mean, it is a, this podcast is going to stay sports turf, but it is a, that it is a lower budget public course. But at the same point, I have a lot of freedom and have a lot of leniency to be able to try new things and really use my talents to use the minimal resources when it comes to finance. On the financial part of things, I can use some of that knowledge that I've gained to try and get the best I can get out of the money that I have. And I'm looking forward to the changes that I'm making now at the course and the ones we have to come. So eventually I am going to get back to sports turf. I hope that is my plan. And even if I have to move, you know, I grew up in Hampstead, not far from where you are right now. Went to Topsail Elementary and Topsail Middle School, you know, all through the through those years. And my dad currently still lives in Leland. So I'm in the area a lot. But back to what you were saying, you know, I've learned a lot about some of these golf guys on Twitter. I started following a lot of golf guys, and they really can really think outside the box on sometimes on things that I'm just not seeing, that it's obvious, but I haven't even seen it yet because I just needed another perspective. And it's been pretty awesome. So
yeah, no, like, you know, like I said earlier, you know, change is always good, but me following some of those golf course superintendents, man, it's like those guys are creative and they really think outside of the box. And, you know, like you said, working at a low budget course, and, you know, we're, I'd say, you know, our athletic budget is probably at the bottom of the CAA. I mean, you just got to get creative to, you know, make resources what you have. You got to stretch them as far as you can. So, I mean, to me, that's part of the reason I, you know, like UNCW is the challenge. You know, obviously, you know, I think you go to some of these other schools, if money's not an option, it's necessary. I view it as, it's really not a challenge. I really enjoy the challenge of, you know, thinking outside the box and trying to get creative with ways to get stuff done.
Yeah, it is fun. It's fun. It's so rewarding when you can sit back and see some of those things that you did maybe that made you more efficient or made you and it didn't cost any money. All it cost was a little brainstorming. You know, those are some of the most rewarding times as a superintendent or as a sports turf manager. Those are some very rewarding occurrences that can happen all the time. So baseball season, you're getting ready to be getting geared up here shortly.
Yeah, we're actually, obviously with all this rain, it was just crazy. We had extremely dry November, first half of December didn't have any rain. And naturally, when you try to get laser grading done, it rains every day. So just waiting to get Nolan back in here to try to finish up laser grade, hopefully, a week or two after Christmas. And then, yeah, I think baseball and softball, I think both teams kind of report January 10th, and, you know, we'll just be wide open, you know, for spring sports.
That's one of my favorite people in this world is Nolan Thomas.
Yeah, Nolan's a good dude, does good work. You know, obviously, you know, when looking for somebody that can laser grade, it's always nice having somebody that you can, you know, give a key to or give a combination to your facilities, and you really don't have to be there to babysit. That's exactly right. Just speaks for itself.
It sure does. And he does first class work. And I mean, I know there's a lot of guys in the industry that do, but I've been able to know Nolan on a personal level and have a personal relationship with him. And he's just, we've actually been to a couple races together. And he's just an awesome person to be around. I like what he stands for. Like he's a family man. I can't tell you how many times on a Saturday or a Sunday I sent him a text message. He said, "Eating with the family. I'll holler back at you tomorrow." I mean, a lot to be said for things like that, you know. But he does exceptional work. I really like Nolan a lot. I tossed the idea around of going to work for Nolan, and I told him, I said, "Look," he said, "Man, you like to fish offshore and stuff too much." I said, "The only thing I need is," I said, "I need to make sure that my dog can come with me." I said, "If she can ride in the truck with me," I said, "she'll sit right down on the field and let me work." I said, "she will never move." I said, "but if my dog can't come, I probably can't come."
I feel you on that. Yeah, I take Well, my Australian Shepherd, he's getting up in some age, but used to take him to work quite a bit, let him run around. But, you know, now it's just kind of a struggle for him to keep up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's something about being in the turf industry, that dog, you know, it's just one of those things we like to do. We like to be able to take the dog with us.
Oh, no doubt. Makes the day go by a lot faster.
It does. Are they adding any big projects on adding anything on campus? I mean, it's been a while since I've been there, but when I go to see my dad, I'm going to swing through there and check y'all out.
Yeah, I hope, you know, obviously, you know, some talks are starting to get, you know, heavier and heavier with possible some baseball stadium and upgrades and, you know, getting a new field. But, you know, honestly, every field we have has lived its life. I was talking to Coach Scaff, the former coach before Coach Hood, a couple months ago, and I think he said the baseball field was built in 1961. Mm-hmm. So it has definitely lived its life for sure. So hopefully we get some new upgrades on the horizon. You know, obviously that talk kind of gets you excited and kind of gets you re-energized again.
And to be a part of a renovation is something that is so informational in itself. That's something that I would love to be a part of, a grow in or a renovation like that. I would take a job and drive an hour to work over if I was able to take a position like that where I could do a grow in on a golf course or a renovation like that, you know, oversee a renovation like that. That would be sweet. I mean, that's something that you learn so much about the facility and about the operation and install side of things too, as well.
Yeah, no, I've reached out to, you know, quite a few folks that I know have done, Todd Campbell at UF. You know, they just redone their baseball stadium. And then Todd at Oklahoma State and then Brandon at Mississippi State. I've all, you know, reached out to them, just really tried to pick their brain on, you know, just when the time comes, you know, some stuff that they could have got away without doing, some stuff they wish they would have done, you know, just a bunch of different other stuff. So, you know, it's been nice to, you know, that's another great thing about this industry is, you know, you can just pick up the phone and call anybody and, you know, they're always willing to help.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure. So what are your big plans for Christmas?
Actually going back to Southern Virginia for Christmas Eve, and then we'll head up to the in-laws for Christmas Day. Me and my wife just actually found out, I guess, a couple weeks ago that she's expecting. So we got a doctor's visit at the end of December for all that good stuff, and then hopefully welcome a possible future groundskeeper into the world.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Summer. That's awesome news. Awesome news.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah. It'll be a change, and it'll be a fun one. It'll be challenging and fun at the same time, right? Man, I tell you, man, it's been a pleasure having you. Baseball season, I'm definitely going to get down there one weekend, when y'all are home, and come check you out. And it's been so long since I've been, you know, to the facility there. I mean, it's been forever. I can't remember the last time I was there. I mean, I've drove by.
Glad to have you.
Yeah, I need to get by there. I'm actually going to be, and for all the listeners, I'm going to be at National, at least during the trade show. We got some big things on the way with Toro. Been in some talks with them about things in the future, and I'm going to actually be down there doing some live things from the National, trying to meet some new guys. And anybody that's listening to this knows anybody that wants to possibly be on the show or has a good idea that they think they'd be a good guest, go on Twitter or my email and shoot me a direct message. And same goes for you, Drew. If you know of anybody, when we get off the call, you know, shoot me a text and say, hey, these are some guys I think would be good. And at the same point, maybe you can touch base with them, you know, before I touch base with them, kind of let them know, calling. Yeah, other than that, man, it's been an awesome talk. I really appreciate your time. I know we've been trying to have this conversation for months, and it's just been crazy. Of course, I've had a transition, and we've been in the middle of, you know, school and all the kids wrapping up, so we finally were able to have this talk, and I appreciate your time.
Yeah, no, thank you so much, and you know, enjoyed it.
Yeah, for sure. And man, I hope you have a great holiday season. Good luck on. Are y'all breaking the news to the family that's over the holiday or not? You don't know yet.
Yeah, so we've already we've actually told both sets of parents, but we were just trying to we was hoping to get a doctor's visit and for confirmation before we kind of told all the nieces and nephews. So I guess they'll have to wait till after the first of the year.
That's right. Well, you know, congratulations on all that, and that's gonna be a fun holiday for you. There's gonna be there'll be a lot of hugs and laughs and whiskey drinks taken out on the porch about what the future holds. So good luck to you.
That's right.
Awesome. That's awesome. Well, again, I appreciate it, and I enjoy the rest of your evening, and we'll be in touch soon.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Yeah, man.
This segment is brought to you by TurfMend. TurfMend is a patch repair product developed by a former golf course superintendent, designed for professional turf managers and homeowners alike to fill in those bare spots or worn areas of turf. TurfMend helps you save time and money by using high-quality professional ingredients so you will never end up with weed seed in your repairs. TurfMend is now available in two different formulations. One, with USGA spec sand, peat moss, and grass seed. Or the second formulation, which has OMRI listed compost, peat moss, and grass seed. TurfMend is proudly sourced and blended in the USA. Repair the bear with TurfMend and go to www.turfmend.com for more information. That's www.turfmend.com, and make sure to reference Dirt on Turf when you place your order to get 10% off. Repair the bear with TurfMend.
Well, that's it for today's episode. Again, I'm your host, Chris Toppings, with the Dirt on Turf podcast. And before we leave you, let me remind you about netting professionals. It doesn't matter what kind of netting you need, whether it's for a batting cage, a dugout, driving range, backstops, check out Netting Professionals. Go to their website, www.nettingpros.com, or follow them on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn. You don't want to miss out with these people. Give them a call. Let them give you a price. They'll take care of you. Until next week, I'm Chris Toppings. We'll see you then.
Be sure to follow us on Twitter @DirtTurfPodcast.